G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 95. I'm really thrilled today to be joined by a special guest all the way from Ireland. But I'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to thank very much the people out there that have been buying my book, The Fasting Highway, on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. Thank you to the lovely messages. I got some great ones this week, and it's really great to hear that it's resonated with quite a few people around the world and got you going on your own fasting journey. And I'm glad that I inspired you to do that. So thank you so much. Anyway, let's get to today's guest. Now, I am very excited to be joined from Ireland by Margaret Simons de Ter. And Margaret is originally from Iceland, and she now lives in Ireland with her Irish partner and three small children, where she works as a makeup artist. And since about the age of 12 to 13, she's always struggled with her weight most of her adult life. And she always seemed to be on and off and coming off a diet. And then after discovering intermittent fasting from a friend, she found her path to a weight loss transformation that can only be described as truly remarkable. And here she is to tell us all about her journey, Margaret. G'day, Margaret, and welcome to the Fasting Highway. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here. I'm honored to be here. I'm such a fan of the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. And a big fan of yours too. I follow you on the Instagram, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But Margaret, for those around the world that don't know you, we heard in the bio that you're actually from Ireland, and you're living in Ireland, I should say, and you're originally from Iceland. If you wouldn't mind giving us a bit of your backstory and sort of any problems you had with weight in your life or health, and sort of how you found your path to intermittent fasting.
It's been quite a journey. So I'm 30 years old, and I'm from Iceland, but I live currently in Ireland. I've lived in Ireland for, I think, a bit more than 2 years now. And my partner, he's Irish. We met over in London. I moved over to, it's very confusing, long story. But I lived over in London, met a charming Irishman. And now I'm living in Ireland, and we have three kids together. So It's been quite a journey. Like, I've always been overweight since I was about 12, 13. I've always struggled with my weight. And I've been through, like, I've probably done everything to, you know, try to manage my weight. I've heard about fasting before. One of my good friends, she lost a lot of weight doing intermittent fasting. And she lost something like 18 kilograms or something like that. And I thought, you know, when she was telling me about this, you know, you eat in a smaller time frame, you know, you sort of have a lunch and a dinner, or, you know, you can go for like a 17-7 or 18-6, or, you know, all these numbers were very confusing to me. I was like, what, like, this doesn't really make any sense. Like, how is this going? Like, I didn't buy into this at first. I really didn't. I didn't really understand how eating in a smaller time frame was going to help you lose weight. But I thought, why not try this one thing? I've done everything else. Why, you know, and nothing has really worked for me in the past. So why not just try this? And we were in the middle of the first lockdown, and I thought, you know, okay, I'll try this. And I'm actually not going to tell anyone about it. We're already in an isolated lockdown here, and I'm just going to focus on this and see if this is going to work for me. And I think the first week, like, now I had a lot of weight to lose. So this is, you know, this is not, you know, a lot of people want to compare, you know, themselves to me on like how quickly I lost the weight. But the first week, I think I lost something like 8 kilograms, wow, which is a lot of weight. And I was really shocked by it. And I thought, right, okay, what's this all about? So I decided to start to do a bit of research about it, learn a bit more about it. So I like podcasts because I'm a busy mom. And if I'm like, I don't really sit down and read a book, you know, I have to have, I go for a walk and I listen to a podcast, or I listen to an audio book, or so I typed in intermittent fasting into the search for the podcast app, and Jen Stevens, IF stories, intermittent fasting stories came up, and I started to listen to those podcasts, and it just all started to make so much sense. And there was a whole world that just opened up, a whole community, you know, I learned about her book through the podcast, listened to her audiobook as well. And I think, you know, I just took it all in like in a really short time, and I became part of her Facebook group, Delay Don't Deny Facebook group. It's she has a whole different sort of community now, but she still has the group, but that was such a huge part of my journey, is to find those communities and learn about fasting and why it actually works, and the magic happens in the fast. It doesn't actually, you know, it matters what you eat in your eating window, but it's those hours that you stay fasted, which is where the magic happens. And that was really such an aha moment. And when I started to fast, it was something like, something was finally plugged in, something was finally switched on. And I had, you know, I almost had this huge, like, spiritual awakening, you know, just that connection with my body, which I've never had before. And that's really like, it's very emotional for me, because I've never understood my body. There's been a real disconnection between me, myself, and my body. You know, I couldn't understand why I was always like, I was always tired, I was sluggish, I was always like, you know, eating first thing in the morning, I would need to sleep again. You know, like having breakfast, like, this has been my whole life. I remember like waking up in the morning, having my breakfast, going to school, feeling so tired and sluggish. I couldn't focus properly, like those first hours in school, because, but now I understand that my body didn't want to digest foods first thing in the morning. When I started to delay that first meal until about noon, then I stopped having these sluggish moments, and I'm more sharp in my brain. I get so much things done. I'm so active. I have so much energy. It's been unbelievable switch for myself and for my body and just my whole life, everything. Like, it's been unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I really feel like I'm resonating with your story already. It's a lot of mirror images there for me, and I can really relate to what you're talking about, particularly when we have that catalyst moment, don't we? Like, you've had that catalyst moment where you saw those pictures a professional photographer took, and you thought, these are going to be really great pictures because a professional's taking them. But like you say, sometimes when you get a
professional... They were beautiful photographs, by the way. They were beautiful photographs. She's a very, very talented photographer. But seeing myself this big in those photographs, you know, that was the real shocker.
That was a point in time where you just said, right, enough's enough. I've had enough. I've got to do something about this. And I think we all have that moment. You may know that. We might start with your stats. So August 2020, middle of the pandemic, You're a busy mum, three small children. You got a business with the makeup that you do. You're a makeup artist and all of that. So many stresses around all you starting when you did this. So let's talk about your stats. You mentioned there your weight and that sort of thing. Just run us through what weight you were. You mentioned that you had a really fast start with the 8 kilos coming off in the first week. Now, and that's just crazy in itself, isn't it?
It's madness. Pure madness. Pure madness. So I was, when I started my journey in August 2020, I was 135 kilograms. That is just shy of 300 pounds. If you're an American, you do pounds. And then right now, my current weight, so I've reached my goal weight now. And I reached my goal weight in sort of a year, 1 year and a month. So that was about 13 months I reached my goal weight. And now I am 75 kilograms. Wow. And that is, what is that, 165 pounds, something like that?
You lost about 60 kilos, which is roughly what the same I did. That's why I was resonating with what you were talking about, because I saw your bio and I thought, wow, I know how this lady feels, like getting that weight off your body. I mean, I didn't do it as fast as what you did. It took me 15 months, took me a bit longer to get there.
Yeah, I know. Yes. From listening to your podcast, I know we actually have the same amount of weight that we've lost. And that's why I connect so much with your podcast and your story as well. And it's a whole person that's now that we don't have to carry around anymore. You know, it's really funny. I met, I used to go to all these mommy groups when before the pandemic hit, and then I actually reconnected with those mommy groups after sort of the restrictions were lifted. And Ireland and Australia are actually quite similar in that way. That has been very, very long lockdowns, very strict, very, very long time. So basically, didn't see anyone for that whole time when I was losing the weight. So because we weren't allowed because of the lockdown, and so I reconnected with these women in the mommy group, and one of them said to me, "So like, how much weight have you lost now?" And I said, "Oh, I've lost 9 stone because they go by stone here in Ireland." And she looked at me and she said, "That's me. I'm 9 stone." And that was really such a mind blowing moment for me, because I know, like, I obviously knew I lost a lot of weight, but for that weight to be a whole person, that was really like, wow, okay, that's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And I often see people around the 60 kilo mark, particularly in the horse racing industry. You look at a jockey that's 55, 60 kilos, and you think to yourself, wow, I lost that weight that guy or that lady's carrying is riding that horse. And it's just mind-blowing, really. But all the freedoms that it brings and the joy that we have in our life. And I can't tell you what it's done for my life and how it's changed my life and how I've gone on to do this podcast, write a book, all these things that have come about from it. But not only that, but for me, the weight loss has been fantastic. And I know fasting is the key result of the weight loss. But there's so many other things that come from our intermittent fasting journeys. And we'll get to talk about them in a minute. But I just wanted to touch on when you first started. You mentioned there that you were doing like a 16 and 8, were you? Or like you were just fasting?
I started with the 18-6.
Okay.
I don't know why I picked that particular, like, I didn't really know what I was doing at the start, so I just sort of went with whatever. I like the fact to have like a 6 hour window where I would open at 12 noon to 12 p.m. and then have it closed by 6 p.m. Just sort of, it worked really well in my day, because you know, mornings in our house are crazy, you know, having 3 kids and, you know, getting them all breakfast and cleaning up after breakfast. And your kids are all grown up now, but I bet you remember, like, if you know, you sit down with breakfast with 3 small children, all you're doing is you're sitting down, standing up, sitting up, because somebody, oh, I didn't want this bowl, I, you know, oh, my spoon fell on the, you know, on the floor, like, I, you know, oh, I want water, no, I want milk, you know, it's all a bit, it's just a bit madness. So to for me to not have to sit down and eat breakfast is actually frees up so much more, so much of my time, and just having that warm coffee in the morning. I love my morning ritual. It's brilliant. Like just giving my body just a warm cup of coffee and some water, my body feels so good. And that's really what I go off on, you know, like, does this feel right? And, you know, there's this constant communication now between me and my body. I'm not just stuffing myself for the sake of it. You know, I really listen, and I'm able to listen now. Whereas before, I wasn't able to listen. I didn't know the difference between hunger and emotional hunger. And, you know, I didn't know that there was different hungers. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, learning to switch off. And I think that's really important, and another resonating moment for me, because what you said there before about not being in touch with your body, or not really understanding it, or, you know, not having that sense when you're eating is when to stop, what's the right amount, all that sort of thing that we learn to develop in our fasting lifestyle.
Yeah, I learned about the clean fast from gin, and took that stevia out, and took that those zero calorie soft drinks out of those fasting hours, and it became so much easier to fast. And because I was sort of like, I was a bit white knuckling in there when I was putting all these things in the fast. It just became so much easier just having just that plain coffee, just water, sparkling water. I have sparkling water in the evening. I find that sort of a bit of a treat, if you will. I don't know. It's just something different. So yeah. I do, sparkling water in the evening with, and I put it in a nice glass, and I put ice into it, and all that, you know, all that commotion around it. It makes it a bit more fun, I suppose.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you're right. You're either fasting or you're not. And you've got to give yourself every chance with the fast to let it do its magic, as you called it before. And I agree with that 100%. And I mean, I know some people say, oh, you know, but we're going to need to use this as a crutch. But usually when Dr. Fung's talking about that, he's talking about people that are north of 400, 450 pounds. I mean, and his theory is that he'd rather see them do that than not fast at all. But ideally, he'd like to see them work towards that pure, clean fast. And I always say to people that put cream in their coffee and that sort of thing, and or they drink sodas during their fast, I said, why would you let a beverage get in the way of your health goals? Also, let's talk about your eating window now. So you mentioned there it was 6 hours when you started, that sort of thing. Were you eating all the things, or were you sort of finding out that there were some things that were holding you up a bit?
Yeah, dial down the sugar. You know, if I would have something, it would be something quite small, but made sure to fill up on something that's better first, so you don't, you know, go crazy, you know, on the sugar. But I kind of delayed the sugar a bit, and then alcohol, dialed that down, like kind of took it out completely, to be honest. I haven't had a drink since like December last year. It was my 30th birthday. I had a few glasses of Prosecco, and that was the last time I had a drink. So it is funny when you have an eating window and you caught it at 6 p.m. It's amazing how when you realize like all that drinking alcohol and eating sugar happens a lot in the evening. And I think that has a lot to do how, you know, people don't sleep well and all that. So since I started to fast, I actually, my sleep has gotten so much better, so much better. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the same. And my sleep was wonderful. And my wife is a testament, and she'll tell you that I used to snore like a trooper, right, when I was obese guy. Snoring was awful. My wife says, now you're so quiet at night, I hardly hear you. You know, you just beautifully.
Just checking if you're breathing.
Yeah, and it's just so good and that sort of thing. And I'm sure I used to wake myself up, and I'm sure I had some form of sleep apnea that I never ever got diagnosed. But, I mean, I was the same sort of similar sort of, you know, overweight by 60 kilos like you were. And it really does affect our sleep. And I think you're right. You wake up tired the next day, and you just drag yourself through the day, and you start eating because you're not feeling good or you're tired. And then that emotional eating and just mindless eating, really, after 6 o'clock in the evening, you're sitting in front of the telly, going with a packet of biscuits. And before you know it, you've eaten 3/4 of the packet of biscuits just while you're watching a documentary.
So I really understand what you're talking about there. Also, with the weight loss that you've had, we talk about the non-scale victories, Margaret, and also the health benefits. And I know for me, that's been dozens of them. Just run us through some of those things that have happened for you losing that amount of weight.
Absolutely. So better sleep, more energy. So it's easier to fall asleep fall asleep at night. And the quality of the sleep is better. And then it's also easier to wake up in the morning. And for my life, that has been such a huge thing because I need all the energy that I can get to go through a day with three small children. And, before when I was so overweight, I was so tired all the time. I was so, I would get up and I wouldn't have the energy for them, I'd be so, mommy's always so tired and all that sort of thing. So, so that's been a major non-scale victory. My allergies and my asthma are so much better. Like I live here in Ireland where the grass grows like mad. We have to cut our grass every 2 weeks probably. And I've had hay fever for as long as I can remember. And now after I started fasting, it's gotten so much better. Like I used to, like the summers here have been like agony for me. Like I always have to be taking allergy tablets, and the allergy tablets make you drowsy and just that blocked nose all the time, which doesn't help either with a good sleep. And so that's been a major non-scale victory for me, that asthma and the allergies. I'm not saying I don't have it at all, but the improvement, it has been amazing. I've actually not had to take any allergy tablets in a long time. And my asthma inhaler I've hardly had to take it. So that's been a huge one. What else? Like body pain, like pain in my knees and my back, from just being very bloated and all that sort of thing. It used to be hard to just sit in a car for longer than half an hour. Like my knees would start to ache.
And I guess too, like you being a makeup artist, right? And that's working in the beauty industry. I mean, that must have really made your job so much easier standing on your feet for so long.
Yes, that's actually what I really wanted to touch on. It was really hard before when I had so much weight on to stand all day long. But I'm sort of just getting back into work now because of the lockdown. I wasn't allowed to do my job because it's such a close contact to the next person. And now I'm sort of getting back. I'm getting busy now with the makeup. You have to be like, it's so much more than just slapping on a bit of lipstick and a mascara on someone. You have to actually be very creatively sharp in your head. You know, you have 1 hour to make that person look amazing, and that person needs to look really good in photographs. There's a lot more to it than just, you know, slapping on a bit of lipstick and then mascara. So working in the fasted state has actually been so brilliant for me because I'm so much more creative. I think a lot faster, you know, I make quick decisions, you know, and you have to be able to do that when you do makeup. You have to sort of because you have different faces and you have to think about the eye shape, you have to think about the face shape and what's going to suit that person. So that's been a huge thing for my work, just to and I love to work in the fasted state. It's usually always in the morning that women want to have it done anyway, if they're going to a wedding or something like that. So it's that's been really, really good. And I don't get tired. My feet don't hurt from standing for a few hours because I don't have that weight to carry. It's helped me so much at my work. Absolutely has.
Yeah, well, same here. And I know when I'd be going to a farmer's field day, when I'd be walking around paddocks all day, And my feet used to kill me. Like I'd be 3 or 4 days, I'd be limping around like an old man. And now I sort of spring out of bed in the morning and I can walk, and I'm a regular walker. I just recently did a 70-kilometer hike over some very tough terrain. And I didn't have those aches and pains, but I know when I was obese, I'd wake up in the morning, I couldn't open my hands, all those sorts of things. And you really resonate with me in a lot of those things that you've said. But you mentioned about the kids again, and I always think it must be so hard for a mum or a dad at home caring for their kids and preparing meals and that. Was that a tough thing, fasting?
It was definitely like, you know, it gets easier by doing it. Like I love when, you know, our common friend, Bat Lucas, she says, she has this amazing thing that she always says is, you improve by doing it. So at the start, you know, I was still very much in those habits of like finishing their sandwiches and finishing those little snacks off their plates and just throwing things mindlessly in my mouth when I'm preparing something for them. And that, you know, it's not going to be perfect in the beginning. You probably still like accidentally put stuff in when you're supposed to be fasting or, you know, whatever, but don't give yourself grief over that. Obviously, you know, you're it's you're changing a lot of habits at once. Reading, listening to Jin's book when she talks about window worthy, that really helps me in that sense where the meals that I prepare for the kids, you know, they have, you know, some, you know, they have sandwiches and they have all these sort of food that kids like and all that. It's not window worthy enough for me, if that makes sense. So I would rather... What helps me through that, if I'm making something for them and I'm about to put something in my mouth, I always, you know, it makes me stop myself in those tracks and say, is this going to be worth my time? Is this going to make me feel really good? Or don't get me wrong, I give my kids very, very nice food. It sounds like I give them awful food. But but I'd rather eat something that I really want to eat and wait till that for that window to open. And so I think that really helps me in that sense to think about the window worthy aspect of it.
Yeah, I like what you said there about thinking about the consequences later, you know. How am I gonna feel if I do that? You know, or can I get through to my eating window? And I can't imagine how tough that is. I mean, I don't have small kids now, and you know, preparing food and that would be very, very tough. And a big shout out to Bet Lucas, by the way. You mentioned Bet is a friend of mine. And but let's talk about the charming Irishman that you met in London there. And how's he been going with all this? I mean, when you see your wife or your partner, like my wife was in episode one of this podcast, and she talked about what it was like living an intermittent fasting journey with a person that lost 60 kilos like you have. And the things that were amazing for her, I mean, he must be looking at you and just going, I can't believe this. Like, you know, he obviously loved you and when he met you and you were 60 kilos heavier, which is great. And how's his reaction been and how's his support been?
Yeah. So when we actually met, like I was not morbidly obese when we met. So I was actually like, but I was still overweight. I weighed more than I do now. I probably had 20 more kilos on me when we actually met. I can't remember exactly what it was, but then, you know, then we got pregnant really early on after starting our relationship, and I gained a lot of weight after having our first baby. And that sort of, looking back, that comes sort of from a bit of birth trauma I had with our first child. And and also, like, our first, she never slept for a year and a half. So that was really hard. You know, there was a lot of emotional eating involved in that. So I gained a lot of weight with every single pregnancy and you know, with the breastfeeding and everything like that. So it was a lot. I could call it a baby weight, but it's actually a lot more complicated than that. It's actually a lot more emotional eating and dealing with stress of motherhood that the reason why I gained all that weight. But he's been unbelievably supportive throughout everything, and he actually went down on one knee and proposed to me when I was at my heaviest. So that says a lot about him and just his, you know, he's never, you know, a lot of partners would pressure their wife into losing the weight. He's never, you know, he would talk to me about it. If I would mention it, if I would say, oh, you know, I've gained so much weight, like, oh, what will I do? And, oh, this is so, like, you know, like, I have to get this sorted or whatever. And he would talk to me about it then. And he'd be like, you know, I support everything you want to do, so, you know. So he's been such a rock, supported me through starting fasting. And he's seen the, you know, all the energy that I had and how much happier I was and just getting lighter and lighter. So he's delighted for me. He doesn't fast himself now, but he supports me every single step of the way. And he's been my main support, absolutely, yeah, throughout this whole process. So, yeah. But I think, you know, I suppose, like, when I was going through all that emotional eating, it must have been really hard for him, you know, to see me like that. And probably a bit like living with an alcoholic, you know, to see someone stuffing their face all the time. And I don't know how he dealt with that. Like, I sort of ask him now, like, that must have been hard to see me like that and, you know, see me sort of down a lot and looking for food all the time. And he says to me, like, you know what, like, weight comes on and off. And I knew you would figure it out eventually, but it's like he knew, like, if you put pressure on something and you pressure someone into losing the weight, that's not the way to go. And just showing support instead of, you know, I've heard crazy stories, you know, some of my, you know, a friend of mine, her ex-husband, she's not with him anymore. He would say to her, oh, if you lose, you know, 10 kilos, I'll give you a diamond ring or something, like, you know, that's awful, isn't it? You know, is that pressure, like, you know, him needing her to look a certain way and all that sort of thing. So that I'm so blessed to have a supportive partner, and that's not something that it's a given, you know.
No, it's not. So, and you're right. And very good reason why that man's now an ex-husband of that lady. And why you're marrying that beautiful, charming Irish man. And you know, it's really great to hear that he has been supportive. And obviously, being in lockdown, you know, around the world, it's been a crazy time for people. And I know in Ireland, I've spent a lot of time in Ireland, so I know Ireland very well.
Oh, have you?
Yes. And
very good.
The social scene in Ireland is amazing, and it's hardly any night can go by and you can always find something to do or go out and there'll be something on or somebody to go and have a beer with or whatever it may be. But very sociable people and that sort of thing. So you're all coming out of that sort of lockdown now around the world as we are here in Australia, and it's getting very exciting. And obviously you haven't seen a lot of people for a long time. I mean, you must go into the beauty salon and doing the makeup and then your clients come in and they go, oh no, sorry, I'm waiting for Margaret.
Yeah, absolutely. People are shocked. Like, my sort of the clients that I've had before the lockdown, and they're sort of revisiting me now after the lockdown, they're like, they're shocked by it. But then now, like, I do live in, we actually moved into this house, in this town in the first lockdown. So we moved in here just right before we had our third baby, which was June 2020. And so this town is actually quite new to me, and so I'm actually meeting a lot of new people right now. And when I mention to them, oh yeah, you know, I had a big weight loss now, like in the past year or whatever, if that comes up in the conversation, I don't just say to people, oh, I've lost a lot of weight. A lot of people look at me and like, and can't picture me overweight until I show them a before and after picture. They can't believe it. I did go into this shop the other day in the town that I used to live in here in Ireland. And there's this woman that owns the shop. The shop is very close to the house that we, so I was in there like a lot. And, you know, you make conversation and you start to know people. And so I went in there the other day, and she looked at me and she was like, do you have a sister that lives, you know, because she recognized the kids, and she looked at me and she thought, do you have a sister? Are these your niece and nephew? And I was like, no, it's me. And she was just like, oh, what? You know, she was shocked by it. So that was really fun.
One of the big things I found with losing that amount of weight, right? I mean, you probably find it more so because you're working in a beauty salon, there's mirrors everywhere, that sort of thing. You're constantly catching reflections of yourself. And I went through that bit of an identity crisis, if you like, because I look at myself and I go, who the hell is that? Because you're used to that reflection looking back at you for so long. Then all of a sudden you catch yourself and you go, that's not me. Who is that? That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Did you find that?
Absolutely. I sort of like, you know, especially like I do a lot of walking like yourself. I walk, I try to do an hour every day because it's just, you know, great for my head. I love it. Listening to my podcast and everything like that. So like I'd walk around town, I would sort of catch myself in like windows and, you know, sort of unexpectedly. And I'd be like, no, that's not me. Like, and, you know, also just like, if I'm buying clothes online or something like that, and I'm sort of like, you know, sort of automatically click the large or the extra large. And I'm like, no, I'm actually a small or a medium, you know. It's a real identity crisis, and then sort of like finding yourself again a bit in this whole different body. It is definitely something, but it takes time. Like, it takes time to get used to. Absolutely.
Same with my friends and family members, and that they would, you know, when I first lost all the weight, and be constantly commenting about it. Now it's just like, they just accept you for what you are. Like,
I get that a lot now. I get that a lot. No, you don't have to lose any more. Like, oh, you know, don't go too crazy on your, you know, a lot of people ask me like, oh, are you still dieting? Are you still dieting? You don't need to be dieting anymore. But the fun thing about fasting, it's not a diet, you know? And I always said, like, I've actually never dieted, you know, I haven't dieted throughout this journey at all. Because I'm eating exactly what I want to eat. Yeah, I get that a lot from people, like, you know, God, you've lost so much weight. And then people keep saying it and they can't believe it. But it takes time for people also to see you in that different way, because they're so used to seeing, you know, people might have only have known you in that big body. But the fact is now, like, I'm nowhere near being underweight. I'm actually at the top of a normal BMI. So like I'm nowhere near being underweight, so I'm, you know, that's where like your confidence and that's you staying true to yourself comes in. You know, you have to be headstrong to take those comments a bit, you know. But I never get like negative comments or anything like that. It's a lot more positive. But you know, I think people struggle, you know, they've seen you in a certain way for such a long time, and now they have to start seeing you in a different way. I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, some of us have more negative comments than others. And I always say to people, you know what? I've never been to a funeral where they've got up and said, here lies the bones of Graham, because he didn't eat breakfast or he didn't eat lunch.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't. Yeah, no, exactly. And I always say my theory is you do you for you and I'll do me for me. And that's usually how I end tough conversations.
A lot of people see it as like you're doing, like you're punishing yourself or something like that. And it's really not. Like, I've never ate nicer food in my life until now. And it's that food freedom and it's that calmness around food that I have now after I started fasting. It's that sort of like, there's nothing in my head. When I sit down with a plate, I really appreciate the food. And I say to myself, I'm going to really enjoy this food now. But before, when I was so overweight and I was eating all day long and I was always bloated and my stomach was always sort of, always a bit uncomfortable. There was always that, you know, that bit of a pain in the stomach because I've, you know, overfed myself, you know. And but now it's this like, oh, like I can't wait for this food. And there's nothing in my head now that says like, oh, you shouldn't be eating this. You shouldn't really be eating. Oh, don't put so much butter. There's so many calories in that butter. Like there was always that, those thoughts that were in my head before. But now it's just there's a fasting time and then there's the eating time. And there's nothing that goes through my head when I'm eating. Oh, you shouldn't be eating that. You shouldn't do that. And all that sort of, you know, always bringing yourself down around food and all the stress around food. So like it's so far from being a starvation diet because like I've never eaten so well in my life, you know.
Yeah, great. So I mean I'm probably eating the best nutrition I've ever eaten in my life now. I mean, I didn't even know what nutrition was. I never read a nutrition until I was 55. And then when I started reading them, I got a hell of a shock because so now that you've lost this weight and you're looking forward to a life and maintenance and so forth. Have you thought about that and how you're going to attack that? Because it is a different mindset.
I'm just going to sort of take it step by step, you know, and just always come back to that listening to my body. And I think that's the core of you know, being in maintenance. Like now, I've been maintaining now for I'd say a good 3 months now, and if I do 16-hour fasting, I'm happy. And sometimes I have an 8-hour eating window. Sometimes I have 5-hour eating window. Sometimes I have 2 hours eating window. So I just sort of juggle it with every single day that comes. And I've actually done now in October, I've done 2,000 squats to support Women's Aid. So I've done 2,000 squats and I found doing all these squats, sort of doing like almost 60 squats a day or something like that. Sometimes some days were it was more than that. And I got so much more hungrier. Like, and that was really important for me to listen then, you know, give my body more quality food, give my body more protein. And sometimes I needed that eight-hour window. So I think it's really important just to always listen and don't overfeed yourself and listen to when your body's had enough. And I find that's really easy to hear now after you after you start fasting. Is there's no sort of am I hungry now, am I not? There's you know, you'll not be confused by it. You know, you'll know if you're hungry, you know when you're full, and you know when to stop. And you know, overfeeding yourself, you know, that and feeling overly full becomes very uncomfortable when you fast. Also, like if you overdo it on those, you know, overdo it on sugar, you'll feel even worse than what you used to feel maybe after you start fasting. So it's that appetite correction that kicks in there. So I'm just sort of going to take it with every day that comes. Now I'm not going to be doing those crazy squats in November, but so I think I'm going to go back to my 24-19-5 sort of, you know, juggle it sort of how it suits really. Yeah.
So with your fasting protocol, are you more sort of the restaurant type of eating, like you have like a snack or an entree first and then your main and then maybe some dessert, or is it just sort of one main plate?
Yeah. My usual thing, I would sort of open maybe with two eggs. Sometimes I put it into a wrap with avocado. So like sort of a small lunch type of entree, I suppose you'd call it. And then I'd have a full on dinner and maybe I'd have something after that. But sometimes I'll have like a banana with a spoonful of almond butter in between those two meals. So, you know, and I usually just sort of stop after dinner. So yeah, that's really my rhythm, if you would.
Have you done any extended fasting at all?
I've sort of done a little bit of, I haven't done one in a long time, but the most I've done is 48 hours, but I never done an extended fast. That whole, like, I was sort of like close to my goal weight once I sort of started experimenting with an extended fast, but I don't go crazy. But I do like how I feel after an extended fast, but it's not, you don't need to do an extended fast to lose weight. I do it sort of for the mindset. And that mind clarity, and my skin feels really soft after. I have really dry skin, and I just find like on my legs and my elbows, they become really like soft for some reason after doing that sort of 48 hours. But yeah, that's the most I've ever done. So I wouldn't be very experienced in that extended fast category. So I'm more of a, I like to eat every day type of thing.
Join the club, 100%. I'm the same as you. I like to eat every day too. And like you, I did the 23-in-1, as you know, and I got the weight off. I never really saw any reason to do the long extended fast. So I understand why people do them. But we had Rachel Awad in episode 6 of this podcast describe what it's like to live in an alternate day fasting lifestyle and the right and wrong reasons to do it. So if people are interested in that, go back to listen to episode 6.
It's finding your rhythm, finding what works for you. And it's so versatile. Fasting is so versatile. I think everyone can find a protocol that works for them.
Yeah, exactly right. And so you've got to find that. You've got to work out what's your niche. Like you talked about, when you first started, you didn't really know what you were doing. Nobody does. I didn't know what I was doing. I just picked 23-in-1 because I'd got home at 5 o'clock from work. And I thought, well, that will do. And I thought, well, if I've only eaten in a 1 hour window, then, you know, surely I can't do that much damage. That was my initial thought. So, I didn't really know much about it. And then I sort of just settled into a rhythm. And once I found my jam with that, I really liked it. And long term, it has to be sustainable. I mean, you mentioned there in your bio about how many diets you've been on and off your whole life. And you always felt like you're on a diet. And we all have done that, and yo-yo dieting and that sort of thing. And diets don't work because they're not sustainable, whereas I've found intermittent fasting is sustainable and it is flexible. So that's the difference for me between an intermittent fasting lifestyle and a diet. What about you?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And it's that sort of that not restricting your food with intermittent fasting really worked for me. That window worthy, that waiting for that really beautiful meal that you've been thinking about and you've been planning in your head. And also it's just, I find a lot of these diets, there's so much planning involved, and there's like meal prepping and oh, you can only buy this type of food that doesn't have any of this or it's so much schoolwork almost, like, you know, which takes that sort of out of it when you do fasting. You don't eat for a certain amount of hours and then you do eat, and you make sure the key is actually to eat really, really nice, tasty food. That was the key for me. Food that's packed with protein, packed with the good fats like butter and olive oil and those lovely vegetables. You know, like, I'm not a fan of like a leafy salad, you know, so I don't really, I don't bother eating that because I don't enjoy it. It's not worthy enough for me. So I like, roasting Brussels sprouts. I like roasting like broccoli or something that's really tasty. You know, it has to be. And I'm having so much fun with my food now, whereas there's none of this like, oh, you can't have, you're thinking about how many calories is in that butter, and you put a tablespoon of butter into a calorie counting app and you get this huge number and you get shocked by it and you think, oh, I better not do that. Those precious calories, you know, I'm not going to waste that on butter and all that sort of, silliness. So now I just eat my butter and I really enjoy it. You know, you see that difference there. And there's none of that, oh, you shouldn't be eating that, shouldn't be eating this. It's just, your body can tell you, like, if you have a huge pizza or something and you eat till you're overly full, your body will tell you that with pain in your stomach. But if you have two slices and you really enjoy every single bite, you're not going to feel like that. But then people are more sensitive to gluten, all that sort of thing. You have to really look at what agrees with you, obviously, your body and everything like that. So those diets were madness, not sustainable long term. Like, I used to do this one crazy one when I lived over in London. There was this food delivery service or whatever, and it's these microwavable packaged food that, you know, you get a whole week sent at one time and you have your fridge full of them, and oh, you just need to eat those meals and then you're going to lose a lot of weight. And but those meals were tasted awful. They all sort of taste the same, and you'll have a day where you're not going to want to eat that, you know. And it's that that side of it where you just have to drink those shakes for breakfast and then lunch, and then, you know, but what, you know, like, you're not going to want to drink a shake every day. Like, that's not sustainable. What if you get so tired of these shakes and you don't want to drink them anymore, then are you going to gain all that weight back? And it's just such a head wreck, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm nearly out of time here in the podcast, Margaret. Before we go, I'd really like to get some great insight for you and just give some people some words of advice that are sitting out there. They're fairly obese. They don't know what to do. They're not sure if they can do fasting. Just tell them some words of advice.
Yeah, I think if you have, like for me, I was very overwhelmed when I started because I had so much weight to lose. But I think it's good to look at it 1 month at a time and not over obsess about from, you know, day to day fluctuation on the weight. You have to look at the whole month at one, you know. Sometimes I would lose maybe 2 pounds one day and then I would gain the 1 pound back, and then, but looking at the whole month, I would have lost 4 kilograms, you know, or something like that. So I think it's really important to just try not to look, you know, try not to think about, oh, this is going to take ages, or just try to think, where do I want to be in 1 month time? I think that's a good, you know, that's not so overwhelming, you know, to think about. And also just, I think it's really good to think about, what were you doing last year? And think about, it's actually not that long time ago, and think about, where can you be in one year time, you know? And for me, like, I had a crazy fast weight loss and it took me a year to lose all the weight that I wanted to lose. So it is possible, but not everyone's going to have that journey. Obviously, everyone loses weight in a different way, and it might not be so fast as it was for me. Go for it and see if it works for you. And I think everyone can find the protocol that works for them. And that is the real treat for the body, is feeling good in your body, you know, and try not to approach weight loss as a punishment because you've been bad for so long and you've gained all that weight. Try to look at it as, now I'm going to start treating my body well, and my body is my home that I live in. And you know, I want to feel good in my home. I don't get a new home once I wear this body out. You know, you never get to change your body. You know, you don't get a new one. Nobody can do this for you. Like, this is something that you need to tackle yourself. And maybe it is that you might need to look in that mirror that you don't want to look at, you know, that emotional eating side of yourself you might have, or you know, that, you know, binge eating or something. You know, sometimes we need to dig there and, you know, how are we managing our stress? Are we eating our stress? Or, you know, would it be better to go for a walk and manage our stress with walking instead of eating, you know? Yeah, I think that's really, really it.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think you really summed it up quite well. And, you know, being the master of your own destiny. And, you know, I always say to people, and stop being a slave to your body and become the master of your body and learn to harness what your body's all about and learn about it. And I think with intermittent fasting, it does teach us so much about our bodies, which you touched on several times in the podcast, and I really appreciate you saying that. But all my regards to everybody there in Ireland, and thank you so much for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you so much, Graham.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Margaret. I really enjoyed that chat with you, and I think you gave a great insight into living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, but you also gave an insight into what a weight loss transformation is like of that magnitude. And it was really interesting, some of those things that are opening up for you now and the changes that you found in your life. And I wish you well in the future, and I think you're going to inspire so many. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Also, folks, if you're interested, you can actually join the Fasting Highway Facebook support group. You can find us there by searching the Fasting Highway on Facebook. And if you're interested in my own story, you can read about it in my book, The Fasting Highway. That's available on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. But until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.